The sermon scripture reading from Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 through 20. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Okay, the hymn we just shared, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. I'm not used to this wording in the New Century Hymnal. Am I the only one? Okay. Well, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Isn't it supposed to say the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above? What happened to that? And who changed? John Fawcett didn't change it. He's dead. That's his. These are his words. But maybe the fellowship is, maybe that's the wrong word. Fellow, male. By the way, where is our annual, semi-annual meeting being held? In the what? Eh? Social hall. The community center. I'm just saying. Well, I have 20 pages here, so we better get going. What time is it? Where are my glasses? Well, don't have them on, so I can talk forever. Tell me when to stop, Al. Yeah. All right. How many of you were on summer vacations? I know I was talking to Mike and Joyce. You're back from the cabin, and others are back now. Typically, this is Rally Sunday, Rally Day, or Homecoming Sunday. It's also called that. But it's meaningful for us to be here in our new church here in Cadillac, a beautiful, beautiful sanctuary. You will agree, Arbor Groveites, and it's just an incredibly inclusive and welcoming, not only building, but community of people, because that's really what the church is. It's the people. I'm glad David could be here as well in our new church home. Welcome, Dave. We need a summer break. Everybody does. But we also need one another, and others are in need of us. And that's the focus of the sermon this morning. Because one of the typical excuses for not attending church on Sunday mornings, it's that I really can enjoy nature, especially here in Wexford County. It is just gorgeous with the lakes and the trees. The fall color is already coming out. You're out there with the birds and the bees and the bears. Why should we leave the great outdoors and hide inside a building on a beautiful day like today? I can worship God in a peaceful forest or by a serene and silent stream or even in a boat while fishing. Teddy Roosevelt once said, I know that one can worship the Creator in a grove of trees or by a running brook or even in one's own house just as well as in a church. But I also know, as a matter of cold fact, the average person does not. One of the basic reasons why people do not worship well, if at all, away from the church is that they are also away from the supporting fellowship of God's people who gather in a building housing a faith community. The early Christian term for fellowship in the church, it's koinonia. Koinonia, it's a Greek word. It means communion, or more specifically, to share in covenantal relationship with God and people. While every single human being can commune with God on an individual basis, this is not community unless we're talking about, I suppose, me, myself, and I. I'm a community in and of myself. This is something related more, though, to an individual's prayer life or spiritual experience alone with God, which is also important. However, in terms of fellowship and communion and cooperation and connection, a tie that binds, we need a community of people, a congregation where two or three or four or more are gathered together. There's a story of a member of a certain church who previously had been attending services regularly but stopped going. After a couple months, his minister decided to make a pastoral call. It was a chilly evening. The minister found the man at home alone, sitting before a blazing fire. Guessing the reason for his pastor's visit, the man welcomed him, led him to a big chair near the fireplace, and then he waited for the lecture. The minister made himself comfortable, but didn't say a word. In silence, he contemplated the play of the flames around the burning logs. After a few minutes, the minister took the fire tongs, carefully picked up a brightly burning ember, and placed it to one side of the hearth. And then he sat back in the chair, still silent. The host watched all this time in quiet fascination. As the one lone ember's flame diminished, there was a momentary glow, and then its fire went out. Soon the ember was cold, and it was dead as a doornail. Not a word had been spoken the entire time. Just before the minister was ready to leave, though, he picked up the cold ember and placed it back in the middle of the fire. Immediately it began to glow once more with the light and the warmth of the burning coals around it. And as the pastor reached the door to leave, his host said, "Thank you so very much for your visit, and especially for the fiery sermon. I'll see you in church next Sunday." So I guess I could end right there, because that's a sermon in itself. In fact, Pat's sermon right there, that's a sermon in itself. But I'm up here in this majestic place. Danny used to speak down here. Well, I'm up here. Yeah, thanks. Danny was down there. Well, I'm going to kind of move from here to there and all points in between, as ZZ Top says. But you'll find me all over the sanctuary at one place or another, I think. But anyway, you get the point of the fiery sermon. When individuals are separated day after day, week after week, from a caring and supportive congregation or community like we have right here at First Congregational UCC, what comes up lacking, it's this koinonia thing. It doesn't matter whether one is an extrovert or an introvert, whether one finds nourishment when being around other people or not, whether during the time of greeting there is an embrace or a shake of the hands, a simple hello, any sort of comfort and care knowing others exist close at hand and at heart makes all the difference in the world. The Hebrew Bible, it's clear about our need for this type of koinonia fellowship. It speaks about God's relationship to Israel as a nation of people. And so in the earlier reading from the book of Exodus in the Torah, Robin, you read about God speaking to Moses with these words, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." The God of one ancestor is a God of all ancestors. God doesn't come down in the midst to save one person. God either saves the people together or not at all. It's a package deal. I recognize the ancient rabbis have said that to save a single soul is to save an entire world, but the meaning focuses on the tie that binds one with many. The networks of relationships, connections through family heritage and tradition. That one soul feeds a nation. And Therefore, out of small beginnings come greater things. And the Christian Bible interprets koinonia very simply in the Matthew scripture. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Jesus does not say here where one or two are gathered. There must be more than one to create a sense of community. The Hebrew and Christian texts point to the underlying theme posted in our service meditation this morning. A person is a person because of other people. Everything I've said so far, though, it's probably easy to grasp on the surface level, but if you take one step further, things get a little complicated. As congregationalists, we enjoy and relish the idea of stressing individual beliefs and the freedom of conscience to believe not because we must, but because we may. And it's been said that there are as many Christianities as there are Christians. Some may mouth the creeds, but interpreting them, this is another matter. One can say that she is a Trinitarian, indicating, as a Trinitarian, I believe in the Creator, I believe in the creation, I believe in forces of nature that hold sway on this blue orb we call Earth. Yeah, we're Trinitarian. Others will say, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I read in our bulletin, the Gloria Patri, it's Creator, Christ, Holy Ghost. How about earth, wind, and fire? So you can take the Trinitarian way any way you want, right? It's the triangle thing, so that's important. So you can say you're Unitarian. And you kind of push everything together and make it a little bit easier, I suppose. America's always been a nation of individualists who follow a different drummer. The frontier American way of life, including American church life, it's holding fast to rugged individualism. But when we speak about how it takes a village, then feelings of mob rule and anarchy, communism, dictatorships, everything anti-American comes to mind. Author of Walden, Henry David Thoreau, if a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer. Let him keep step to music which he hears, however measured or far away. Thoreau left society to write, to carry on by Walden Pond. He did return home every other week so that his mother could do his laundry. Did you know that? And eventually, Thoreau had to permanently return to civilization in order to get his books published. You need civilization. You need community. You need your mother. How many of us want to be able to say, well, I can go it alone. We don't need anybody else. Some may want to escape to the Wexford County Jail, but the Wexford County Woods, because society is a mess. In case you haven't noticed, that's not what the church ever intended, and though we may argue that Jesus spent 40 days and nights in the wilderness wrestling with his own demons, he returned to civilization with a rather unique set of teachings. Christianity is not self-centered, it is people-centered, and while obviously it is important for us to love ourselves, Jesus emphasized that love matures when it is shared. Love neighbor as self. Christian language of the last 50 years does confuse the nature of this love. Most of us have been asked the question, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? On the contrary, the biblical mandate is to focus on the salvation of a nation rather than the salvation of any particular person. Biblical ethics is not private, it's communal. When things are strictly personal, the community gets the raw end of the deal. When the community enters into the picture, individuals are challenged to give up something for the greater good. All of us should already know it in terms of church votes. And by the way, we're going to have some of that today, aren't we? Today, in our semi-annual meeting, votes will occur. There will be winners and there will be losers, I predict. And by the way, at my other church there in Jackson, I probably lost out 50% of the time, which is good. It's a statement about the people of the church. The minister doesn't say, well, this is the way it's going to be, and everybody else follows along. That better not be the case. Make sure I lose, well, maybe a quarter of the time. I can stand up here and make myself feel a little more important, but you know otherwise. Reduce me to what I'm supposed to be. Because I read something else about we're all ministers here, aren't we? And we should maybe move the term laity over here and put ministry right over here in this congregation, right where it belongs. I ask you, though, what happens if you lose? Do you embrace the majority rule, or do you walk out of the church doors never to be seen again? You know, we're better than that, because we belong to something greater than a self. We belong to this church. We belong to society, to the earth. We belong to God. And so in conclusion, as many of you know, or will soon find out at least, Catherine and I, we love the theater, especially plays performed over in Stratford, Ontario. Penny and I have had a few conversations about that. And I know that many of you participate in various theater groups right here in Cadillac. In fact, Karma, Laura, you were talking about one. And that's good. That's a very important aspect of what it is to be in this congregation, but also in the community. We have a board that meets here from the Cadillac Symphony. Jazzercise, it's a group downstairs with Sue Cinco. She leads that group. And last week in worship, we all held hands in a communion service, quite unique. Also last Sunday, Karen Anderson, she wrote a beautiful poem, and her group performed together before the congregation. And so look at this morning, we're enjoying the Catty Girls and their music leadership, and how wonderful it is. Well, think how crazy things would get if just one performer, and I was hearing Rachel over here singing, but what if it was Rachel? And instead of singing with the rest of the group, she said, well, I'm not going to sing with the rest of the Catty Girls. I'm going to sing Oklahoma. I don't know. What if one actor in a play, in Shakespeare's King Lear, for example, decides to step out and start singing in some other music? I mean, would that work? I don't think so. Actors don't do that or should not do that, because the secret to the success of the play is not individual acting. It never is. It's the way the actors, the director, the producer, and the crew all work together as a group. And if one person tries to stand out, going it on his own or her own, the rest of the actors will suffer and the play will be ruined. Cooperation is necessary, even in the midst of diversity and dissension. With the challenge of a collection of so many different people and with so many different individual causes, a successful marriage in the same way operates at a high when the partners take into account the needs of the other. We are who we are because of our relationships with parents, families, friends, teachers, and all of those people who have encouraged us in some way to develop our talents. We've been strengthened by those who have stood beside us to guide us with love. Likewise, we've been weakened by those who have betrayed our trust and who have caused us pain. But don't misinterpret what I'm saying. We ought to be individuals. We ought to pursue the unique talents God has given us. And Pat McCurdy was talking about all the different families, the diversity, the rainbow of people. However, if we use that as a basis to exclude ourselves from the wider fellowship of God's people, then like a burning ember apart from the fire, we will be diminished. God calls us to be in a caring community, a covenantal koinonia with our particular community of faith right here in Cadillac. And likewise with the world. We're not alone. We need others just as they need us. We appreciate the support of others just as they appreciate our support. We are responsible for the needs of people all over the world. And it is a moral imperative that we remember that this is the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Amen. I wanted to, in conclusion, just share something that tied into the sermon. And I don't know what time it is. What time is it? You want me to do that? I'll wait again. This is a, well, I'll do it. It's something that I was reading. It tied in with Pat's children's sermon. Any of you know Harry Chapin? Harry Chapin's wonderful. This is from Living Room Suite. It's one of his albums. Flowers are red. The little boy went first day of school. He got some crayons and started to draw. He put colors all over the paper, for colors was what he saw. And the teacher said, "What are you doing, young man?" "I'm painting flowers," he said. She said, "It's not the time for art, young man, and anyway, flowers are green and red." "There's a time for everything, young man, and a way it should be done. You've got to show concern for everyone else, for you're not the only one." And she said, "Flowers are red, young man. Green leaves are green. There's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they've always have been seen." But the little boy said, "There are so many colors in the rainbow, so many colors in the morning sun, so many colors in a flower, and I see every one." The teacher said, "You're sassy. There's ways that things should be, and you'll paint flowers the way they are, so repeat after me." And she said, "Flowers are red, young man. Green leaves are green. There's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen." But the little boy said, "There are so many colors in the rainbow, so many colors in the morning sun, so many colors in a flower, and I see every one." The teacher put him in a corner. She said, "It's for your own good, and you won't come out till you get it right," and all responded like you should. Well, finally, he got lonely. Frightened thoughts filled his head, and he went up to the teacher, and this is what he said. And he said, "Flowers are red. Green leaves are green. There's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen." Well, time went by like it always does, and they moved to another town, and the little boy went to another school, and this is what he found. The teacher there was smiling. She said, "Painting should be fun, and there are so many colors in a flower, so let's use every one." But that little boy painted flowers in neat rows of green and red. And when the teacher asked him why, this is what he said. And he said, "Flowers are red, green leaves are green. There's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen." That's not what we're going to do here, is it? We're going to make more rainbows. Amen.